So I guess we're doing a live episode of Snapping Podcast because I have been too busy to sit down and write scripts for everything. And I'm also just one person. I do have one editor, Ivan. He is amazing. But unfortunately, it is just really, really difficult to get everything moving sometimes. So, yeah. I think the worst part about having an editor who lives in New York, which is like, there's nothing wrong with that. But like when I have shitty Spectrum internet, it's the fact of having to transport my file to him through the internet. And because my upload speed is fucked all the time, it's really hard. Hey, Spectrum, am I allowed to do my job?
Fine. I'm cool. I'm fine.
Microsoft and Asus's Xbox handheld appears in leaked photos. This appears to be Project Kinnon, an Xbox-branded version of the upcoming Asus ROG Ally 2. We've heard rumors of Xbox making their own handheld anyways, so. The first photos of the Asus ROG Ally 2 have surfaced online thanks to regulatory listings, but with a twist, there are two versions of the gaming handheld and one features a dedicated Xbox button. They reported The Verge. This is from The Verge. We reported 2 months ago that Microsoft was working with Asus to develop an Xbox-branded handheld codenamed Project Kinnon. And this appears to be it. Interesting. I didn't realize that they were going to be doing this through a third party. I much would have preferred them doing their own, but I get that it's difficult to. And I know that Asus ROG Ally is really good. I actually held one of my friends, Max Scoville's. He has one, and I held it and I was playing some games on it, and I actually really liked how lightweight it was. Last night I was falling asleep and I was playing some Fallout 4 in bed, and oh my god, the Steam Deck is so heavy. It is so heavy. I love the Steam Deck. I love that there are things that are specifically approved and like Steam Deck verified, but I did love how light the ROG Ally felt. So the version of the Xbox branded handheld is a black version of the otherwise most identically white ROG Ally 2 with a small button in the top left corner bearing an engraved Xbox logo. That button is blacked out on the original, on the regular ROG, although will likely be replaced or removed in its production version. So let's take a look at these. So this is the Xbox one. Ew, God, it looks like, I'm so sorry, but it looks, if you're watching on video, it looks awful. Like just imagine the dustiest, most thumbprinted-est, like someone just threw a bunch of flour on top of this console. It looks disgusting. You could, with the fingerprints on this, on the screen, you could probably get through someone's phone with their fingerprint identification screen. That's what I'm saying. Like, it's just so gross. Anyways, so this appears to be the device that they are talking about. The white one honestly looks a little bit better. I kind of like the white. Like the coloring is better. Also, you don't see the dirt as bad, which you can see on the black version. That is disgusting. I know, people need to wash their hands. I actually don't mind the stick configuration, like the placement. I'm very used to that from the Xbox. So for me, that works out really well, especially with the Steam Deck as well. It's kind of placed similarly. So going on with the article, 91 Mobile's found listings for the ROG Ally 2 at the Indonesian certificate and video cards linked those to an FCC listing for the Wi-Fi module included in the two devices, which includes photos of the hardware. That listing also reveals some limited specs, which include a 7-inch 120Hz LCD display, about the same as the first generation, with an 8-core 36W AMD Ryzen Z2 Extreme CPU included in the Xbox edition, and a less powerful 4-core 20W chip in the white version. The design has also been altered with more molded controller grips on each side rather than the blocky sloped design of the ROG Ally. That leaves the hardware as a whole looking thicker than before, but perhaps it'll be more comfortable to hold. I honestly don't mind controllers being a little bit thicker. I do, because then it gives you more to kind of grip, right? There's nothing wrong with being thick in all the words. Anyways, yeah, so if this is what Microsoft is working with Asus, then I don't mind that. I think Asus makes really good quality products, so I'm totally down with that. I think that it already looks better than the Steam Deck. As much as I like the Steam Deck, I think it's better. I honestly would probably get two. I keep the Steam Deck because it does have the Steam Deck verified, which is very nice. And then I think I would have this for Xbox dedicated games. I was actually just thinking the other night of buying Fallout 72 on my Steam so I could play it on my Steam Deck because I have it on my Game Pass, but I can't transfer that over to my Steam, but I would have to buy it again, which I am actually really enjoying that game. So for me personally, I might honestly just buy it. But at the same time, I feel like I could get way more out of my Game Pass if I buy a Microsoft specific device, especially if the games are made to be optimized on that device. I think that's better. Yeah, I know the current model. The Asus ROG Ally is actually really nice. Like I said, it's very light. This sounds like an ad read, but I promise it's not. I don't even have it. I'm just jealous because I was torn between that and getting that and a Steam Deck. Steam Deck has done me great so far. Yeah, Bedpan Jiggy Bone says Steam Deck has been a good investment for someone who travels a lot. Yes, I highly agree. I was playing through a lot of my backlog games when I was on flights to like Japan or when I was going to Germany, and it was very, very nice. Jeffrey, you'll take a Steam Deck? Hey, man, if the Ally 2 with the Microsoft version ends up being good, you can have my Steam Deck. I'm totally fine with that. If this works enough that I can use both launchers, totally fine with that. I will say, though, that launching games on the Ally, the current version, it was a little weird. Because the Ally is technically like its own PC, like the Steam Deck has its own app, right? Like it's all built in. It's literally just Steam. You can jailbreak it to be its own computer. But the Ally is basically just like a desktop computer. So you have to go and open up the apps and everything. And sometimes it doesn't launch correctly, which is why I do prefer the Steam Deck, because everything's just built in and it's approved and everything has to be tested multiple times in order for it to launch properly. So that's the one thing that it has over it. But yeah, Asus just has the better comfortability factor. But yeah, it does run full fat Windows. Yes, it does. But it's all right. It's not the end of the world. It's just not. I just want to be able to play all my games, all my backlog stuff on one platform. You know, I really just want to. That's cool. I have been waiting for an Xbox handheld forever just because I have so much stuff on the Game Pass app that I just really want to be able to play, but I don't have time to play. And when I'm in bed, sometimes I want to play some games that are on Xbox. But moving on from Xbox, this is an interesting one. I do praise Epic Games for always being able to support their developers, and they're going a step further. This is from gamesindustry.biz. Epic Games is set to launch web shops for developers. The publisher also announces change in revenue share with the Epic Games Store, with developers paying a 0% share for the first 1 million per app per year. Following the Epic Games legal win against Apple yesterday, the publisher has announced it will be launching a new web shop feature for developers. Real quick, let's take a little... It's like a little route around. If y'all don't remember, Apple and Epic Games Store have been at each other's throats for the longest, longest time. Epic didn't like that Apple would be having their own fees on mobile purchases, which a lot of places still do that. A lot of apps still do that, which was interesting. And it kind of turned people off of using Apple apps to access certain things. So like me included, I would just go on the webpage and buy stuff that way. So like, for example, when I went to go re-up my Audible subscription, because your girl listens to audiobooks and loves them because they're a great way to, pass the time when you're cleaning dishes or anything. On the website, on the official Audible site, desktop site, it was normal priced, but if you buy it through Apple, it was inflated, which was very annoying. So having to bypass that was very frustrating. But gamesindustry.biz actually reported on this. Apple can no longer collect fees on purchases made outside of the App Store in the US, as the court ruled. So this means that Fortnite is actually going to return to the App Store next week because they didn't want to inflate these prices. And if you remember, a few years ago, Fortnite, you had to go a roundabout way in order to download Fortnite onto your phone. I actually did that on my Samsung because I was like, wait, it's not on the app. I totally forgot about that. You have to download it separately, but you have to enable your phone to download unknown apps, which is not always great, right? So let's go ahead and read this real quick. Epic Games has claimed victory in its legal battle against Apple after a U.S. court enforced an injunction which prohibits the tech giant from collecting apps fees on app purchases made outside of its app store. In addition, Apple is no longer allowed to stop developers from encouraging US-based users to make payments via alternative methods like web transactions that circumvent its ecosystem. This ruling is effective immediately. As a result, Fortnite will return to the App Store in the US next week, as Epic's Tim Sweeney revealed on Twitter. The court enjoins Apple from implementing its new anti-competitive act to avoid compliance with the injunction. Effective immediately, Apple will no longer impede developers' ability to communicate with users, nor will they levy or impose a new commission on off-app purchases. The full ruling by the Northern District of California Court also refers Apple and its Vice President of Finance, Alex Roman, to the local U.S. Attorney for investigation regarding criminal contempt. The Verge reports that Apple will appeal the order. Regarding Roman specifically, the order states he outright lied under oath. The original injunction was ordered following a trial between Apple and Epic in 2021, which ruled that Apple's 30% commission was anti-competitive and that it needed to allow developers to direct users to alternative payment options. Yeah, so this has been going on since 2021, which is now, 4 years now? Which is wild. I remember reporting on that back when it first blew up, and it's just now coming to a conclusion. Following this, however, Apple added a 27% commission to off-app purchases. The resulting new ruling explains that Apple used methods like scare screens to deter users from exiting its ecosystem to make payments. Apple's goal to dissuade customer usage of alternative purchase opportunities and maintain its anti-competitive revenue stream, reads the order on this point. In the end, Apple sought to maintain a revenue stream worth billions in direct defiance of this court's injunction. Sweeney pitched a larger compromise on Twitter, saying Epic puts forth a peace proposal. If Apple extends the court's friction-free Apple tax-free framework worldwide, we'll return Fortnite to the App Store worldwide and drop current and future litigation on the topic. And last month, Apple was fined $568 million by the EU for deterring third-party payment methods that circumvent the App Store. Oh, I don't know if I say this enough, but like, man, fuck corporations. I'm very glad that Apple got served on this because, listen, as nice as the Apple ecosystem is, it is very frustrating to see them have a monopoly on shit. And I have an iPhone. I've not upgraded to the newest one though, because I fully intend to switch over to my Samsung once I pay this off and then I can sell it or whatever. I fully on board with leaving it. Apple, the US is such an Apple dominated space though, which is really interesting because when I went to Japan, a lot more people had Androids, but a lot of people, I think a few of the younger generation were starting to use iPhones, but for the most part, Apple wasn't really a part of that ecosystem there. It is starting to get there, but there's just so much more that I feel like Samsung can do. This isn't even because I'm like sponsored by Samsung. Legit, like after having used the Samsung for a while, I find myself wanting to use that more often. So it's just, I don't know, man. I'm very tired of companies having a monopoly. It just also does suck that in the US, a lot of apps are made with the iPhone in mind. So for example, if you film on TikTok, if you use an iPhone, your quality is going to look way better than if you use a Samsung, which I experienced firsthand and I was like, this is bullshit. Anyways, so following back up on the legal win from Apple yesterday. So the web shops will be hosted by the Epic Game Store and will enable developers to offer out-of-app purchases. It has also provided an update to the Epic Game Store revenue share. Developers will now pay a 0% share on the first $1 million in revenue per app per year, followed by the usual 12% revenue share once they earn above that amount. That's actually fairly low, in my opinion. I think that's fairly low for what they could take in terms of revenue. Obviously, I don't work in the dev space permanently, so I have no idea what normal revenue share looks like, but it does feel very low, especially if you don't have to pay for anything in the first $1 million. This update has been made possible by an injunction enforced by the Northern District of California Court, which we read about just now. Both features will be available from June, starting in June 2025, so next month. I think this will be really good. for everyone. You don't have to circumvent the App Store in order to download Fortnite anymore on mobile, which I actually did want to try out on mobile. Whatever, sue me. I just wanted to be a gamer. So I think that'll be nice. So I just started getting into the Wheel of Time, letting everyone know, as I talked about on Audible, like on my Audible membership. I re-upped for a year because it's a little bit cheaper, and I started listening to the Wheel of Time series. I know this isn't gaming related, but it is kind of gaming related because there's going to be a Wheel of Time RPG, okay? So it's kind of related, but I started getting into it. I don't know what took me so long. I think it's because I tried to read the first book and I was like, oh my God, this is so wordy. This is so meaty. And I gave it a pass on audio, on an audiobook. And it actually, I think the format works a little bit better for me personally. But I started getting into it. I watched the first season of Wheel of Time on Amazon Prime, and it's very fun. It is such an expensive show. You can tell it is such an expensive show, but it's very well done. So I did not realize that Iwat Games is the studio behind an upcoming open world RPG based on the Wheel of Time universe. That's amazing. I'm very excited for that. The goal is to grow the studio up to 200 to 300 employees in Montreal over the coming years. Now, Iwat Games is a subsidiary of Iwat Studios, previously known as Red Eagle Entertainment, a transmedia outfit that manages different IP opportunities around the Wheel of Time books. It oversees Iwat Productions, which makes Amazon Prime Video's The Wheel of Time TV show. Oh, okay. It all being connected is actually great. The existence of an open-world RPG based on the property was announced back in April, with former Turbine VP Craig Alexander hired as studio lead. The game is likely targeting next-generation platforms with a possible release on current-gen. Next-generation platforms. So they don't expect to see it in this, like, Xbox Series X and PS5 generation? Interesting. Wait, who is this? Okay, Stefan Diastis was the most recently hired director of operations. Oh, no. Okay. They just hired him as director of studio operations, but he most recently was the director of operations at Krafton's Montreal studio. And before that, opened Montreal-based studios for Detroit Become Human, Studio Quantic Dream, and dual universe developer Nova Quark. Previously, he founded Deus Ex Reboot developer Eidos Montreal and Square Enix Montreal. Interesting. Apparently, he was approached about running the studio around 2 months ago by the founders, Rick Selvage and Larry Mondragon. What a cool name. Yeah, this is super cool. I am very much down for this. This sounds really cool. Very down for that. I want more RPGs that I can sink my teeth into, like the, oh my goodness, what is it called? Dune RPG that's coming out. Dune Awakening, I believe. Yes, Dune Awakening. It is selling for $50? Is it $50 or $60? $50. Okay. Dune Awakening is supposed to be releasing June 10th this year, which is going to be very fun. I think it looks cool. Third person survival open world crafting game. It is an MMO RPG, of course, online PvP with online co-op. It is about $50, which is fair, I think. It does look like a massive, massive game. So I'm really excited for that, mostly because I do love the world of Dune. But if we get a Wheel of Time one, I'm so down, especially if you can choose what kind of Aes Sedai you want to be. Totally down. Anyways, talking about another game in our future, Doom the Dark Ages. So excited for this one. Doom the Dark Ages is coming very, very soon. Yes, May 15th. Dude, that's next week. That is next Thursday. I am very excited. Super excited. That's going to be fun. I think it looks great. I'm very excited to play it. So here are the games that are coming to Game Pass, Xbox Game Pass, in the first half of May 2025. So we've got Dredge, which is that horror game. Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2. Revenge of the Savage Planet, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Mutants Unleashed, Warhammer Vermintide 2, Doom the Dark Ages, of course, Culebra and the Souls of Limbo, Firefighting Simulator, The Squad, oh, I actually kind of want to try that, Police Simulator, Patrol Officers, ew, no, And then on May 7th, the following games will be added to Xbox Game Pass standard core offerings: Dungeons of Hinterberg, Metal Slug Tactics, Flintlock, The Siege of Dawn. And on May 15th, five games will leave Xbox Game Pass entirely, including Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, Chance of Sennar, Dune Spice Wars, Haunty, and The Big Con. Dredge is pretty chill. I have not played Dredge. From what I remember, isn't it sort of like a horror game? Yeah, it's a single-player fishing adventure with a sinister undercurrent. Sell your catch, upgrade your boat, and dredge the depths for long-buried secrets. It actually looks kind of cool. Actually, the deluxe edition is only selling for $16.19. That's really not bad. And I don't think that it's very taxing on your system to play it either, which is very cool. You'd say Lovecraftian more than straight up horror. I think that's fair. Some people would say Lovecraftian is horror, but, you know, I think that's totally fine. Of course, there are a lot of different GTA 6 theories going around. Speaking of which, do you remember when I saw this ad going around, especially on Reddit, where someone put on a showing of Hamlet all made within the GTA 5 game? Which is so weird. It's like an actual full-length movie of them doing Hamlet. It was very interesting. So, for some background, in January 2021, actors Sam Crane and Mark Oosterveen were out of work and depressed. The UK's third COVID-19 lockdown had begun and London theaters were shut down again. Crane had been due to start a run as Harry Potter in Harry Potter and the Cursed Child on the West End, which would have supported his family for a year, but that chance was shot now. Oosterveen was single, rootless, and had just started trying to get back into work after losing his father to a long battle with Alzheimer's. We were buggered. Crane's wife, filmmaker Penny Grills, who co-directed Grand Theft Hamlet with Crane, told Polygon. There was nothing to be done about the situation except play video games. Oosterveen, the gamer of the trio, showed his friend around Grand Theft Auto Online on PlayStation. Crane and Grills hadn't played games since they were kids, but had bought a PlayStation for their son the year before, somewhat reluctantly. Crane initially had misgivings about GTA. You think, oh yeah, that's just one, that one is super violent, there's no redeeming characteristics to it at all. And then when I started playing it, I was shocked at how beautiful it was, and how fun it was, and how freeing it was to play, and how broad it was. Crane wasn't going in completely blind, though, and he wasn't purely killing time either. He was aware of the roleplay and machinima communities in gaming and interested in exploring them as a performative space. I didn't know what we were going to be doing in there. Thought maybe we might try to do some weird little YouTube skits or something like that. Responding to this vague impulse, Crane and Oosterveen started capturing footage of their gameplay before they really knew what they were doing. That's why at the start of Grand Theft Hamlet, we can watch in real time as the pair stumble upon the Vinewood Bowl open air theater in the hills of Los Santos and hit upon the idea of performing Shakespeare there. Soon they invite Grills to join them in game to document their efforts. At first it seems like a joke, suggesting that any actor encountering a new space immediately envisions themselves to standing there in front of people reciting to be or not to be. And there's an obvious culture clash between Shakespearean tragedy and the crude violence and low culture irreverence of GTA. Okay, so if you guys are not aware of this, let me find the trailer. I believe it did get a theatrical release, if I remember correctly. Rotten Tomatoes actually has the trailer as well. So let's go in and look at this together. Yes, dude, this is the movie that was made in, yeah, this is... let's turn on some closed captioning. Let's get this all the way up. Okay, great.
Putting on a production of Hamlet in GTA Online for the first time ever. We are looking for actors, so come and audition. Please try to stop us. You can't stop our mother. Oh, they got me. Oh my god, they're really coming down now. Look.
To be or not to be, that is the question.
You're welcome to audition if you want.
You're crazy, no?
Okay, don't shoot us, please.
Whether it is Nova in the mind to suffer the stings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of trouble.
No one's gonna come.
No one cares.
It's not a real thing.
It's real to me.
Oh, hang on.
Someone's here.
Oh. That's quite an entrance.
You can call me Star.
I'm Jen.
I'm Tilly.
I'm Defoe.
My name's Gareth.
While you're doing your dance, we try saying to be or not to be, that is the question.
Enhance? What the? Enhance? Chat, why can you see it from the back? Why can you see it from the back?
Look, my lord, it comes.
It's like Shakespeare on a $1 billion budget.
Cops are here.
Maybe he's a purist.
We just keep coming across these people who want to help us. That gives me hope that what we're trying to do is possible.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Grand Theft Hamlet.
It was actually in theaters, and if you saw it, it was actually in the... Oh, no, no, no. It was actually in the UK Film Festival as well, which is really impressive. It's streaming on Mubi. I may need to watch this. Is this like another sub movie night that we do? Because like this is incredible. Anyways, so yeah, they were out of work and they decided to do this, which is very, very fun. Yeah. It's interesting that they use the same audio that's in game, so their mics sound crappy, which is really funny. Let's see. They re-recorded a few lines of dialogue to clean up the audio, but they deny setting up any events in the game just for the movie. Makes sense. I think that makes sense because since they used in-game to capture everything that happened around them, it makes sense that they would use the in-game mics, but yeah. Machinima's back! Yes. Yes. Grand Theft Hamlet is crazy, but it sounds so funny. And I'm actually really curious to see how it goes. I think one of my friends watched it and said it actually wasn't bad. But yeah. It's super funny though. I know the GTA 6 trailer dropped and people are really upset that it dropped with a year left in before it releases. I totally understand why GTA 6 is delayed, and I think it was going to be delayed from the start. Like I knew that it was not going to come out this year. I think I wanted it to, but I was like, this is a huge game. It needs to be good when it comes out. It has to be polished. It has to be immaculate. Especially with the way that they are advertising it. So I personally don't mind, just because I feel like this year has been a great year for games. Everything has been dropping, surprise drops. I mean, we've got Oblivion that came back. So for me, I'm fine with it. I know some fans who are very upset. Rockstar had been way too quiet for this to drop this year. I kind of figured it was just not coming, which is fine, honestly. Grand Theft Auto 5 sold more than 200 million copies since its debut on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360. That's how old it was. It released on PS3 and Xbox 360. And you kind of forget about that because it's just been forever. It does look really good. If you saw the trailer, I think it looks great. I think it looks really fun. The story is very compelling to me. I'm not gonna lie, I didn't finish the GTA 5 storyline just because I did not care about these people. Obviously, they were very horrible, but I also didn't like feel a connection to them at all. So I was like, okay, well, I don't really feel the need to play this. And online was more intriguing to me at the time anyway, so I just played online. Unlike Red Dead, which immediately caught my attention and I liked the story. It's so overwhelming though. The system is very overwhelming. I know I need to go back and finish it, but that story is immediately more gripping to me than GTA 5. Oh, sure. Yeah, one thing to remember is that Rockstar hardly ever uses out-of-engine cutscenes. No, and I believe that because some of the movement in the cutscenes, if you look, some of the movement in the gameplay capture in the trailer, they looked very much like how characters move in GTA 5 in-game. So for... With players like us, with trained eyes, we know that it is in-engine. And it's probably not going to look quite as polished, but it's going to look very close to what we saw. Stonian, you're not the only one who liked GTA 4's story more than GTA 5. I think Jeffrey was just talking about that as well. Mizu, you saw Real of a Dad who had his child when GTA 5 came out, and she's a whole ass teenager now. Please don't say that. I want to die. I want to die. Thank you. Yeah, Spartan, it felt like the cast of GTA 5 would not be out of place in Always Sunny. And here's the thing. I love Always Sunny. Always Sunny is great, but like, it's different when it's a video game format, and it's kind of, I don't know, it feels like it's more of a serious storyline because it does get pretty serious, and I just was not interested. I just wasn't interested in it. I just was not interested. Oh, there's a Switch 2 accessory lawmaker lawsuit right now. Okay, so this is from Polygon. Back in January of this year, a third-party accessory manufacturer was showing off a bunch of accessories for the forthcoming Switch 2 at CES 2025. The problem? No one had officially seen a Switch 2 in the wild. Despite plenty of leaks, Nintendo wouldn't unveil the console until about a week after CES. Genki would later clarify that all of its designs were based on the leaked specifications of the Switch 2. Over the weekend, the Game Post reported that Nintendo was suing Genki's parent company, Human Things, claiming trademark infringement, unfair competition, and false advertising. Nintendo claims the accessories could have been misinterpreted as an official partnership with Nintendo. Back in January, Nintendo even had to make a statement clarifying that the gaming hardware that Genki presented as Nintendo hardware at CES is unofficial and was not provided to the company by us, as reported by the Japanese arm of CNET. Wow, even after the harsh response from Nintendo denying the partnership, Genki continued to pump up its accessory plans for the Switch 2. Just before the official Switch 2-centric Nintendo Direct, Genki posted a Genki Indirect on YouTube highlighting the wide range of Switch 2 products they were working on. In response to the lawsuit, Genki posted on X stating, "While we can't comment in detail, we're continuing preparations to fulfill orders and showcase our newest products at PAX East this week." I don't feel bad for them. Chat, am I the asshole if I don't feel bad for a company that continues to push boundaries with a massive, massive company that has a huge stake in the gaming space, that is very established and is known for being very close, holding their products very close to their hearts. And like, they are known for throwing lawsuits at people who come close to infringing things. Am I the asshole for not feeling bad for Genki? I don't feel bad for them. They kept pushing. They kept pushing. They kept pushing. NTA, not the asshole. Here's the thing. I don't remember if it's Genki, but I got an email from one of these companies that was making some off-brand like Nintendo Switch 2 products. They actually emailed me saying, "Hey, would you be down if we sent you a fake Nintendo Switch 2 model and you showcased the accessories and the case that we're making by holding up this model, this fake model of a Switch 2. And I was like, no, absolutely not. So I obviously just left them on read because I was not interested in that. But the amount of companies that are getting so bold about this, actions have consequences. I don't really feel bad for Genki. And the fact that they're going to go showcase their new products at PAX East, That's a weird flex. Hopefully it works out for them, I guess. I don't know. On more Nintendo Switch news, apparently, according to Cameron Faulkner, Switch 2's built-in storage can only fit 4 AAA games. Which I think isn't a huge surprise. Nintendo Switch's internal capacity has always been kind of low. At least Nintendo in general, so I think that's not a big deal. Nintendo recently started taking pre-orders for the Switch 2 games through its online store, coinciding with the opening of Switch 2 consoles pre-orders. So the game file size, they went to that section on each page to see how much storage each game will require. Some Switch 2 game file sizes are much bigger than expected, closer in size to Windows PC counterparts than original Switch ports were. This makes sense given that Nintendo's upcoming console is powerful enough to run games at 1080p and beyond at fast frame rates. And yet, it'll only take a handful of games to completely fill up your Switch 2's built-in 256GB storage. So all the games that I'm about to list clock in at about just a little bit over 300GB. Okay, let's see. Nintendo's first-party games are some of the tiniest Switch 2 games in terms of install sizes. Mario Kart World is 23.4 gigabytes, while Donkey Kong Bonanza is somehow just 10 gigabytes. Switch 2 Edition upgrade packs range in size, with Tears of the Kingdom taking an extra 3.6 gigabytes beyond the base install, and Kirby and the Forgotten Land taking up an extra 11 gigabytes. Yes, so you will need a micro SD Express card for extra storage, which is fine. I mean, I think I have that, and it's fine. I don't think it's the worst thing, right? Like, I don't know. For me, even on my PC, I like to uninstall games that I'm not currently playing, even if I do have storage for it. It's just like an out of habit thing. So for me, I don't feel like this is going to be a problem. But yeah. You're holding out for the OLED version. I was going to do that, but my friend actually ended up getting a pre-order, and I was like, well, shit. All right. And it comes with Mario Kart. Mario Kart World. So, you know, if any friends come over, I guess we're whipping my Switch 2 out. So there we go. I know OLED screens are really, really nice. My Steam Deck does not have that. I think the Steam Deck, the second one, had that, right? I don't have that, but that's okay. The OLED screen on the Switch, current one, the Switch second, the latest Switch model has been really nice though. So I just don't know what to do with my original Switch now. Are you guys going to be selling your Switch, or are you going to be keeping it? Your hope is that you can buy a Switch 2 for a family member who's turning 13 this year. You'll keep yours for the memories. Oh, that's very nice of you. That's very nice of you. You need to finish Jedi Survivor. I was just talking about that game the other day. I started playing that launch week, and it was kind of buggy. It was okay. I actually played through some of it on the Xbox live stream that I was doing, but it was okay. Like, on PC it was fine, but I was waiting for more fixes and such. I should go back and finish that as well. Why did you buy your Steam Deck 2 months before the OLED model came out? Oh, I'm sorry. You're gonna sell... Oh, okay. I thought you were gonna sell your Steam Deck. You're gonna sell your Switch. I see. Yeah, Mizu. I mean, if you don't need the Switch 2 now, I think that's fine. I think that's fine. You can wait on it, right? Like, it's not that big of a deal. Yeah, for me, I think in order to cover games, to continue covering games, I do need it. Which sucks, but yeah. You don't want to sell your Switch because your Zelda Joy-Cons won't work on Switch 2. They will, but not attached. From what I understand, you can, like, link them. For certain games, like, they will work. But yeah, you can't, like, attach them. So you can still have them work. That's, like, I have a ton of, like, pro Switch controllers. So I'm going to, especially for, like, parties and stuff. But I think you can attach them. It's fine. Just wireless. So... You need a Steam Deck more than a Switch. Would you be going for the Steam Deck or the ROG Ally? Joy-Cons are ass. I know. Yeah, dude. Listen, my hands are smaller, but like the Joy-Cons, when I'm holding it like this way, it feels like I'm holding a Kit Kat. Stick with the console version of Jedi Survivor. I can't. I have the game on PC. I mean, I do have... Listen, when I played it, it was fine. Because I had... You know, I have a 4090, so... you need to pre-order the new GameCube controller. I forgot that's... They have so many different controllers. I'm gonna be so broke, man. I'm gonna be so broke. I think that's why I'm so thankful that Game Pass exists. Because I'm just like, oh my god, there's so many games. I don't know where to start. Can you have my 4090? I need it. Maybe when I upgrade in 2 years. Your Switch doesn't get used. Yeah, I wish. Here's the thing. I think that the Switch getting more PC games is cool. Like The Witcher and Doom. It actually runs really well. Obviously, it's not like the most graphically intense thing. But it runs well if you are like just wanting to play the games, which is fine. So I think it is nice. But... The Switch generally, at least this one, can't really handle all the games that we want to play, so. Yeah, 4090 ran fine with Jedi Survivor, but yeah. I think the 5080, I don't know. I chose not to upgrade because it's very similar to the 4090. So yeah, and Jay, we covered that earlier. This will be going up, by the way, on YouTube and on podcast. So on Spotify and Apple. So I think that's about it for news today. I think that was a lot that we covered. I know most people will be asking, like a lot of people are like, oh, what do you think of the GTA 6 trailer? Do you have like a break? I don't have an attachment to GTA, so I can't do a breakdown of it because I just don't have an attachment to it. I don't know GTA that well. So unfortunately, that is, I will not have a breakdown other than it looks great and there's hella ass and I'm into it. yeah. Anyways, yeah, that does it for this episode of Stampane Podcast. Thank you so much for being here and for watching live. If not, I'm glad that you're listening and watching later.